and thank you for tuning in to Faith Worship Center's weekly sermon. We hope you are inspired and encouraged by this week's message as we all live to bring more of heaven to earth.
Hi. You guys okay today? Everything going well? You having a good life? If not, I know someone who can fix you up really well. Wow. I'm so blessed to be in this place with you guys, just to be able to worship and love on Jesus together. And it's a good church. It's a good bunch of people. Great bunch of people. I'm going to jump right in. I have a pretty long passage I'm going to read today because I love this passage. It's a powerful passage in Corinthians about the spirit and not the letter. And I feel like there's going to be a transition coming in this message at some point in time, jumping into something else. But I believe that I believe God has some good things going on. I'll tell you what, stirring nights on Wednesday nights. I don't know if I feel bad for you if you're unable not to come, you're not able to be there. I feel really sorry for you because we have been having some fire in these meetings. Man, we had healings on Wednesday night and we just went for it. And we started the Randy Clark healing training. So we got through the first session of that, which was just incredible. And over the years, we've actually had Randy here back in 2001. And he did a healing school here, one of the first healing schools that he started. And we just got so rocked by him. And it was a great school. We had 35 helpers from the church, volunteers, who volunteered their time and their efforts and their energies to make that conference a success. Just within our congregation, 35. Amazing. Anyway, Randy's a great brother. We just love him. I don't know how many of you are familiar with him, how many of you are not, but he just is an amazing guy. He went to Toronto and all heaven broke out. And what's known as the Toronto Blessing from there spread to Brownsville. And just a very powerful man of God. And so we started that training on Wednesday nights. And let me tell you, that we just got into it and just really packed it up. And this is open to the public. There's no charge for this. You're free to come and just participate. And we'd love to see you. It's, you know, been good. I think we started 8 months ago. When did we start, Serena? October. So since October, we've been doing it and just having a lot of fun. Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. I think what the New Testament saints found out is that it is the spirit of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that actually gives life, not necessarily just the scriptures. Oh, hi, Celeste. How are you? Not to point you out in the middle of everybody else or anything like that, but I just looked over and saw you. Hi. And so they found out that it's the Spirit of God that actually creates the change inside of an individual. And they found it out the hard way, because if the scriptures themselves, the letter themselves in scriptures, had the ability to save people, then the Pharisees would have been saved and never crucified Jesus, because they studied the scriptures fluently. They knew the scriptures inside and out. They got down into every dot and every detail and every quotation mark. They knew the scriptures. And yet they missed God. They missed the Son of God, Jesus. And so they found out that it's not just the letter of the scriptures that save, but it's the Spirit. And this is why it's so important to always bring the Holy Spirit with you when you read the scriptures. A lot of Christians get really confused when they read the scriptures because they're not listening to the Spirit, they're listening to the letters. It's very important when you read scripture and study scripture to do that, not just with your own understanding, but take the Holy Spirit with you. Before you read, just say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to read here, open up my heart, open up my understanding. I've often told this story when I first got saved. I used to get up 4 o'clock every morning in the military before we had PT. I'd get up 4 o'clock and I'd just start reading the scripture. I'd just dive right into the scripture, just read it. And I had a learning problem. My biggest learning problem was when I was in school, my entire school life, I liked recess more than I liked school. That was my biggest learning problem. And I just was not that good of a student. Not to mention the fact that I flunked second grade. I don't even know how that's possible. But they held me back in second grade. It just highlights the fact I had some issues. If they would have had diagnosis for things like that, they would have called it dyslexia or ADHD, more than likely ADHD, DDHD, DDD. Because I was a very hyperactive kid and loved recess because I was so good at doing sports and stuff like that. And I could get A's in recess, but not so much in the school. And, you know, at that time, they used to have a chair in the corner for every student that acted up. I spent a lot of time in that chair. My teachers didn't really care for me that much. Are there any young people in here? Because I don't want to give any ideas, but Dan in the back, yeah. So one time me and my neighbor friend, we were in class together. My neighbor friend and I had this brilliant idea. Brilliant. Fifth grade, right? You come up with brilliant ideas in fifth grade as a boy. Let's put thumbtacks on the teacher's desk. Let's put them on her seat. Brilliant. Why are you guys all shocked? That was a brilliant mind of a fifth grader thinking there. When she sat down, boy, did we get it. She knew it was us, too. Yeah, no question. It was just... Why am I saying this? Oh, yeah. Because when I was in the military and I got saved, I would get up early in the morning, I'd be reading the Bible. And I'd be reading, and I'd turn a page. And then I'd turn another page, and I'd turn another page. And one time I was turning the page, and I realized, I don't even know what I just read 3 pages back. Not even the last page. Not even the last sentence on the last page. And I sat there, and I went, God, I need help. So I took my Bible at this point. This is my Bible at this point. I took my Bible, put it on my head. Closed my eyes with such an earnest, passionate... I was earnest when I prayed this. It sounds funny today, but I was so earnest. Closed my eyes, put that Bible on my head and said, God, if it's possible, would you just download all this into my head right now? Just so I get it all in this setting, because this is ridiculous. I'm getting up trying to read and I can't remember what I'm reading. And after that prayer session, I put my Bible down, the very thick, I still have it. It's a New American Standard Study Bible. My mom bought it for me when I first got saved, my mom and dad. And I put it down, and I felt like I heard the Spirit of the Lord say, just keep reading because your eyes are the gate to your soul. And when you take words in, even though you don't understand the words, they're going into your soul. And I'm doing my work inside of you. Pretty amazing revelation for a new believer, I think. It changed my life. I realized I don't have to understand every single thing I'm reading at the time I'm reading it. Because my eyes are taken in and it's going to create the change in there. It needs to happen. That's what I mean about taking the Spirit with you as you read. And I did not even understand that statement. I just knew that when I read the Bible, I was reading something that God wanted me to read and that he wanted me to understand, and I couldn't understand it, so I asked for his help. Is that good? All right, I'm done speaking. I'm all done. That's good enough. That preach is good enough right there. That's it. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones, he's talking about the letter of the law right now, was so glorious that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? And he's asking a question here because he's highlighting something that took place in Moses' life when Moses had an encounter with God up on top of that mountain, and his whole face lit up like the sun. And he comes down from the mountain. As he comes down from the mountain, Israel sees his glory shining on him, and they could not even look at him because it was so bright. We just went through an eclipse, right? You're not supposed to look at the eclipse without special glasses. That's kind of like what was happening here. Now, I don't know whether or not when Moses was first coming down the mountain, I don't know whether or not he knew his face was glowing like the sun. I have no idea what was going on in Moses' mind. They didn't have mirrors back in those days, so he's got no mirror to look into to see his own reflection. But you can imagine his reaction when everybody's going, "Oh, man! Whoa, cover up, dude!" Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? You and I carry the ministry of the Spirit. You see, this is not about, it's not about laws, regulations, rules. It's not about what you do, what you don't do. It's about bringing the Holy Spirit with you everywhere you go. Every step that you take, he comes with you because you are his temple. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He resides within us so that everywhere we go, he comes with us. And I believe one of the hindrances and one of the drawbacks of many believers is that they don't carry that intentionally with them when they go through their work week or when they go through their regular week. They don't carry the understanding that he's always there to minister to others around us. Always. It's, let me put it like this. It's, hi Rita. It's not like we have a switch in which we turn God off. Like you come to church on Sunday, we get all hyped out on worship and just love with the presence of God, and then we wake up Monday morning and just go, "Oh my gosh, I don't even want to go through this day. I don't know what that noise was, but that just hurt my ear. I don't even want to go through this day." You know, if you wake up like that on Monday, you've pretty much hit a switch inside your heart and inside your reasoning that has shut God off. You've forgotten he's with you. Now, last week when I mentioned what God showed me about reflecting on the goodness of God, sit and reflect on the goodness of God. I love Monday mornings now. I didn't used to like Monday mornings. A lot of times when I'd wake up Monday morning, I would wake up with the first thing in my hair. How many of you have seen them? I'm rambling. How many of you have ever seen the movie about the boy that's afraid of darkness? It's a Disney film where dark shows up in the room with the boy to talk him through his fear of darkness so he understands dark isn't that bad of a thing. There's a little character in that movie called Insomnia. It's hilarious, representing how insomnia works on people. And this little insomnia bug flies over to the sleeping, non-suspecting person and just drops a little sentence in the air. Just right in the air. This is insomnia doing his job. And the sentence is, "Remember how your fourth grade class laughed at you when you got up for show and tell?" And immediately the sleeping person wakes up. And the rest of the night she's wide awake. Insomnia, right? Why am I talking about this? I don't know. Except for the fact that you and I don't have an off switch. Just because in your mind you might think you're shutting him off, he doesn't get shut off. He's still in you. You can walk around carrying the Holy Spirit and unconsciously minister to somebody else without even knowing it, because the Holy Spirit just likes people. He cares for them. Because you're carrying him in your heart, you can reach out and you can shake someone's hand, and immediately the Holy Spirit's showing up to that person. You might not even know what's going on in them, but God is doing a work in them. Why? Because that's the nature of impartation. That's the nature of the part of God that wants to come out from us and move beyond our weaknesses and our inadequacies and our own understanding about ourselves and show up to somebody else. Because he's good and he's faithful. And he loves the world. It's why he sent Jesus. So what? Right. Okay. So let's talk about this. Moses has a glory on the outside where Israel has to hide. So I'm looking around at some of you. Let me put it like this. I'll stand right here underneath this light so you can really see my face highlighted. I look a little different, right? That's because I'm under a light. When I'm not under that light, my face looks like everybody else. I look like everybody else. Nobody is going to recognize some kind of a glory in me. I'm not going to walk into Home Depot and someone's going to say, "Whoa, dude, turn! What is up with you?" You're not going to have that happen to you either. Because he's great inside of us, more so than outside. And the new glory represents an inside change, not an outward change. We can change on the inside. The more we get changed on the inside, then things start showing up on the outside. But that's the glory of the new covenant. And this is why Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he's telling them, Moses had an outward glory. You have an inward glory that's more glorious than the glory that he had. Verse 12, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the old covenant, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in the hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Beautiful passage of Scripture really lays down what the new covenant is all about. When I was in that military room with the Bible on top of my head, I didn't get an instant download of 66 books. But I have to feel that God really looked and saw the hunger. Because a healing took place in my learning capabilities through reading the Word of God. When I didn't used to like to read and couldn't concentrate, you know, they had those tests. I don't know if they still do these kind of tests where they do a paragraph in school. It's at the end of the year. They do this, I don't know what they call them now, but you have to do this test, and they have a paragraph for reading retention, and then you have to write in your own words what the paragraph just said. I bombed at that when I was younger. But the Lord really did do a work in my mind. My natural mind was healed by the Word of God. So that not only could I now read and retain and understand, but now I could read and like to read. Yeah. And that's to the glory of God. It's not to the glory of me. I couldn't get it. Believe me, I had some of the best teachers ever in school, and they couldn't give it to me. I couldn't get it. And God did. And hopefully that helps some of you. Maybe some of you teachers that are out there and you're frustrated with students like I was. Don't give up on them. Please, don't give up on them. Sit them in a corner and put a dunce hat on them. That's fine, but don't give up on them. I am only kidding. Yes, thank you. Now, interestingly enough, I have one more passage that I'd like to read. Because there's something that I've discovered about various gifts within the body of Christ. That each one of us here carries a different strength. And we might have different weaknesses, but each one of us here have different strengths. I look at this dear saint up here, Joyce Graves, who's been with us since I don't know how long. It's been a good many years, 30 years or whatever that she's been with us. And I see her, and she's faithful to be in church every week. But she's not just faithful to be in church every week. She's faithful to grab a new visitor by the hand and walk them all over the place and introduce them to whoever. Because she wants God to connect with people. And she wants people to be connected to God. She has a great love and a great heart. Wednesday night we were doing impartation. Lynn and I and our team were imparting over the people that were here. Praying over each one, just taking the time to pray for each individual. It took us like 35, 40 minutes, and we got done. And Joyce looks over at me afterward, and she goes, "We need this on Sunday." And I said, "We're doing it now." But there's this question that arises, and I've had to deal with this over the years. When I first started understanding about the anointing of God and how the anointing works, and I had to grope through a lot of things because I didn't understand why some people got touched and some people didn't. I was the same person doing the ministry, same laying on of hands, same amount of faith. Some got touched, some didn't get touched. Some got healed, some didn't get healed. Some got changed, some didn't get changed. And I had to work through this thing to try to understand why this is. You know, we're kind of like past that in this time, but in the mid-90s, it was understood that if you had a powerful anointing, you would lay hands on someone and they'd fall down and collapse on the floor. It's called slain in the spirit or whatever, right? And you understand that they're what? It can still, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it was very frequent. And so I was getting to the point to where I could judge the anointing of God in my life if someone was falling down. And I can remember going to people that didn't fall down. And I'm holding my hand on them and their bodies that have already fallen down and this one's not moving. And I'm like going, "God, do you need some help?" It's like, that's not it. That is just not it. Sometimes what happens in people, you cannot see the evidence that it's happening. And so I had to wrestle through this and work through this as a very young minister, someone that was very young in ministry, not understanding fully the anointing. And to this day, I still do not understand why some get healed and some don't, why some get saved and some don't, why some get delivered and some don't, why some get free from addictions and others don't. I still don't understand this answer, but I'm not alone because this is really not a new thing. Okay, that has happened. It's like this is not something that's out of the ordinary where one gets healed and another doesn't. It's something that has taken place a long time. And I wanted, during worship this morning, the Lord just highlighted this passage to me in a sentence form. I didn't know the reference. I had to look up what the reference was. But it's in Acts 12. Herod was the king of, he was the Roman dignitary king over the Jews. He was sent by Rome to rule over the Jews, basically. And he wanted to show the religious Jews, he wanted to show them, make them happy. So he arrested James, the son of John, was arrested. Herod kills James. Peter is sleeping in the prison cell. An angel comes into the cell, wakes him up, opens the door, blinds the guards, and Peter walks out of the prison. James gets killed. Peter gets freed. You hear what I'm saying? I don't understand why James died. Why Peter got free and James died. But one got free, the other didn't. James, on the other hand, might have really gotten free. Yeah. He gets sent right to the pearly gates, right? He's there. Peter walks out. He goes to a prayer meeting of the saints where they're praying for James and Peter to be released from prison. Peter knocks on the door, and a young lady comes up to look at the door. I think her name was Rhoda. I'm not sure. But she hears Peter standing out saying, "Open up, open up. It's me, it's Peter." She comes to the door and she looks through the little crack or whatever in the door. She sees Peter standing there knocking. And she goes back and she tells them, "Peter is standing knocking at the door." And they all tell her, all these faithful prayer people who are praying for Peter's release, tell her, "You're dreaming. You must be seeing his angel. There's no way he's out of prison." Thankfully, God is not dependent on our prayers to work miracles. And I would just have to say this because I feel like it's necessary that within this story illustrates if someone gets healed or if someone doesn't get healed, God is the one that does the healing. He's the one that's responsible for the outcome, not us. James gets killed, Peter walks. Is it because God liked Peter more than he liked James? Is it because God loved James more than he liked Peter? But we have these questions. Someone gets healed, someone doesn't get healed. Is it because if someone didn't get healed, there was a lack of faith involved? What is going on? We don't know. Because we're not supposed to know. Not supposed to stand there and try and diagnose it and try to figure it out. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "You'll lay hands upon the sick and the sick will recover." In my mind, that's good enough. That's a good enough deal. And the outcome is totally up to God. Belongs to Him. The obedience and the partnership with God is totally up to us, belongs to us. Just to be found faithful in what He's called us to do.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit faithworship.org.